This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 156, and my name is Derek Gallimore. So today I am joined by Chris Buckham of Kooi. You will hear what Kooi means if you're not familiar with that word in this podcast. Chris is a fellow Australian, and we actually live in the same building in Manila. What are the chances? Chris has a fascinating background in terms of corporate arena, but also shared services, and has traveled around the world with that career, and now has his own outsourcing advisory kind of BPO and startup. So really interesting conversation with Chris. I'm sure you will enjoy it. So if you want to get in touch with Chris or know any more about this podcast, go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/156. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today I have Chris Buckham here of Kooi, which we'll find all about today. How are you, Chris?
Good, Derek. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good. And you're a fellow Australian, actually living in the same suburb of Manila as I, and we're both in Rockwell, and we actually bumped into each other in the elevator. So it's an amazingly small world in some regards, Manila, isn't it?
It is. Only more and more we're seeing a lot of more Aussies over in this part of the world.
Yeah. Which is good. I'm amazed, actually, and maybe we can talk about that, but, you know, there's a disproportionately high representation of Australians in the outsourcing world in Manila, isn't there? I think they're really sort of running with it, you know? It's amazing.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Cool. So we are going to have a chat about Kooi, which is your effectively kind of high-touch BPO, but also management and brain-based coaching for BPOs and clients here. I'm sure you can explain it much better than I. But I suppose initially, do you want to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the background that led you to where you are now?
Sure. Yeah. So obviously grew up in Australia, but similar to yourself, Derek, I've spent most of my career actually abroad. I moved to London, like a lot of Australians do. And to do my 2 years, and I got a job with Deutsche Bank, and that was 2002. And that role then took me back to Asia, to Tokyo, Singapore, and then 10 years ago to Manila. So yeah, bit of a world tour with Deutsche Bank. 15 years with the bank in total. And I got out to Manila 2008, set out specifically to help in the growth of their shared services, which was a couple of years old at that point, and growing quite rapidly. And so that's how I ended up in this part of the world, and it's been a great journey. I love it here. I love the Philippines. I've really loved it since day one. I came here as a single man. I'm now married. Pia, my wife, is from here, and we have two young boys. So it's been a life changing posting, that one. A great journey. Yeah.
And congratulations. And now you actually work with Pia, your wife, with Kooi, which is after leaving Deutsche Bank, you sort of found a space in the market for both management, brain coaching, but also kind of a high touch, high value BPO within the space. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we co-founded Kooi a year ago. I suppose the name itself is quite interesting to people probably outside Australia. It's a distinctly Australian word. Not many people will know what it means. It's actually a Kooi is used as a call. It's a call to attract attention, and it's typically would be used in the outback regions of Australia or in the bush, and the sound can travel long distances. And actually, the first time Pia heard it was we were down visiting my parents in Sydney, and my mum was downstairs, and she yelled out Kooi and got my dad's attention, and Pia just gave me this weird look, and I said, no, look, that's mum getting dad's attention to get a coffee or something. And he cooeyed back. And by this point, she was giving me all sorts of strange looks. Sure. But
Actually, I mean, I've spent many years in Australia, but like Cooee is kind of an anglicised. It's obviously been very anglicised now, but was it an ancient, like a very old sort of Aboriginal kind of calling from the bush, was it?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Right. Fascinating. Anyway, so let's go back a little bit, and I really want to kind of dive into your experience with outsourcing. Now, you worked for Deutsche Bank in 2002. You kind of moved to Asia and Tokyo, Singapore, Manila. You started the shared services in, well, you joined this shared services in Manila, which for those people listening out there, shared services is effectively outsourcing, but within a captive environment for one whatever organization. So effectively, Deutsche Bank was doing all of their outsourcing, but within a structure that they owned and controlled in the Philippines. But in effect, they're similar things and referred to here as shared services. But and I kind of preach to people here that outsourcing really is only 20, 25 years old. And so certainly Deutsche Bank got into it pretty early, and that's very common what we see. You see the sort of big multinationals, the big wealthy companies getting into outsourcing early, and it really wasn't available to the SMEs and smaller companies until much more recently. But can you paint a picture of what you saw shared services as being in those early days and how it's really changed in the last 10 years, I suppose, that you've been involved with it?
Yeah, absolutely. My first exposure would have been late 2004, and that was when Deutsche first made their move into Manila and set up their entity of Deutsche Knowledge Services. And they started with a handful of roles, and I was fortunate enough to be involved in one of those migrations where we moved a team from Sydney to Manila.
Right.
Back in those days, we were all doing it for the first time, really. So I suppose the documentation and the governance, how you went about things, we're kind of learning as we went along. But through 2005, 2006, that's when they really started to ramp up the operation and take more roles from, the specific higher cost locations like your Londons, New Yorks, Tokyo, Hong Kong, etc., and really start to build out the entity. But certainly at that point, I would say in terms of the global investment banks, they were the only big player really here. There was definitely presence in India, but Manila, they were definitely one of the first. And then we start to see some of the other banks follow in the coming years.
It's
And over
incredible
that.
to think, isn't it? But the entire industry is only 20 years old, and really it couldn't exist before kind of affordable telephony and then obviously the advent of the internet. But you're talking only 10 years ago, and I, from what I hear, a lot of stories like kind of 10, 15 years ago, there wasn't a lot of sophistication, and as you said, people were really kind of figuring it out as they go along compared to today, where the Philippines now is incredibly sophisticated in terms of outsourcing, process outsourcing, kind of, and making more sophisticated processes. But what were you guys doing? It's called knowledge services, but does that imply that it is knowledge, or did you guys go down the original or the more common route of call centers, customer assistance? What were the fundamental tasks that you started with?
Which is we started with operations and finance back office, so P&L processes, financial reporting, reconciliations, supporting Deutsche's sort of global finance function, and operations functions. And then over time, they started to add in more support around technology, so IT, project management, business analysts. And when within the finance space, they would take on year on year, take on more complexity. I suppose a key year was 2008. The financial crisis really brought about an accelerated set of migrations because of what was going on in the hub locations and a need to really ramp up the support out of Manila and the sites in India. So that saw a huge amount of work come over in that period, a lot more complexity, a lot more, further up the value chain, and they've really continued to do that year on year, as have the other banks that have all come in. So you've now created there's a market here for pretty highly complex, financial reporting, product control, operations type functions, which has been great for the market here, which would previously, before outsourcing, really have had, though those roles existed within the local organizations, but they wouldn't have traded the complexity of products that, say, Deutsche Bank or JP Morgan did, and therefore, you're able to enhance the skill set of thousands of people working in this market, which is incredible, really.
Yeah, there's an incredible upskilling that we're seeing, isn't there? Before it was just call centers and I don't know, cold calling and people doing pretty kind of monotonous stuff. But as you say, there's a continual upskilling, and people as well, the companies here can afford to invest in their teams potentially more because the gains are so much more because the sort of starting cost is so much less, yeah. And I suppose, we don't need to keep on talking about Deutsche Bank, but can you then reflect on some of the challenges and some of the sort of clear gains for starting a shared knowledge services? And then also, how do you think those things relate to big business versus kind of small business? Are they the same, or does it differ greatly?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I suppose there's historically been a challenge around, I suppose, the image and the branding. I know that was definitely something Deutsche, and not just Deutsche, but the other banks have battled with in terms of, well, what is the image for the site out here as, so you continue to grow? Do you use the word service center, for example? Because we found that this word service center could have a very negative connotation with, guys in Frankfurt or in London, but we're all Deutsche Bank staff at the end of the day. We're all JP Morgan staff, all Macquarie Bank staff. So how do you set up the image of your site here? And then also, the transformation of the roles that had previously sat onshore. What is the future state role for someone in Sydney or in Singapore? So I think there's all those challenges that the business we have to go through. I think, as you alluded to earlier, I think as the years have gone on, businesses have gotten better at it, because there's a lot more clarity now in terms of, this is the way we are going. Manila is not going to be a 2 or 3 year project. It's going to be a multi-decade project. And we certainly saw things would come and go, and I think you do see that in the market here. The big corporations will move functions between, Manila and to India or to Birmingham or, to their nearshore as required. So I think there's always a bit of lifting and moving that goes on. So that but generally, it's this the place is here to stay. The figures speak for themselves in terms of the growth. And year on year, and so I think most businesses really have no choice but to really get in and embrace it, and really put effort into, well, this is part of our franchise moving forward.
Yeah, it's definitely happening, isn't it? And I think businesses all over the world are realizing actually this is the new norm, really. This is employment on a world basis, not just a kind of 2 year project. And do you see, things can be very different in the big end of town with the big boys with thousands of staff, but do you see, did you see a lot of this as very different, and how can you see SMEs relating to these processes, this sort of process of integration and process refinement?
Yeah, I mean, for what I've seen in the last year, I think they will take to it generally a bit more positively, because you're a lot closer to the detail, for one, I think, when you're operating that SME market versus, the big corporations that are doing 100 and 200 roles at a time. When you're talking about a fives or a six, there's a need to be very engaged in that detail, and everything's at stake, really, to make sure that it works. You mitigate all your risks, and you're producing a very high quality output. So from what I've seen, the smaller players here seem to be very engaged. I see a lot of, I mean, a great example for me, which I've noticed over the last 10 years ago when I moved here, Qantas, so our national airline, had two flights a week to Manila. I think one of them went via Brisbane. Now there are six flights a week, and they are full all the time. And besides people going to Boracay, even though they won't be going there for the next 6 months, It's driven by this sector, and it's just people going, coming up to visit their team, spend time in their shared service or their, the BPO that they use. So I think there's definitely that engagement level is, has really improved a lot.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? And Cebu Pacific do very frequent flights as well, and it really is opening up the trade relations between the two countries immensely, isn't it?
Absolutely, yep.
Fantastic. And then I want to get you back, Chris, so that we can, deep dive more into Kui. But just give us a brief overview of Kui and, kind of what gave you the inspiration to start this.
Yeah, look, Pia and I are very passionate about people development, flourishing human potential. It was something we loved about our roles when we both worked in the bank. And as managers, and Pia left the bank many years before me, but she spent that time in the last few years building a brain-based coaching program, because we feel that there's an opportunity there to try and get team leads in the market here, whether they're in big captives or small call centers, wherever they are, or local companies even, to try and connect more with the social or the human side of leadership. And so with those programs that we've started running with companies here, and an opportunity that arose to get into the BPO sector via a client in Australia, we said, right, now's the time to do it. And so we're allowed, by having both, a consultancy business where we're going out training and offering training programs and coaching, we also have a BPO, so we have our own team where we're able to really live those values every day with our own team and with our clients as well. I think it's certainly having our clients in Australia, we really emphasize our the focus we have on people, on the social part of the brain, and so that's quite important to us as well.
Fantastic. And I, as I mentioned, I want to get you back and we can deep dive into that. If anybody wants to chat to you or connect with you in the meantime, how can they do that?
Sure. So our website is mykui.biz, so mycoe.biz. We're also on Facebook, so we would love to hear from
And we'll put all of those links in the notes. So thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
Okay, that was Chris Buckham of Kui. If you want to get in touch with Chris or know any more about this podcast episode, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/156. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.